So I've got to start. How did you fall into Justin's novel? Was it something you just picked up? Did you hear about it? I mean, where did this kind of...
It was something I just picked up. Yeah, it was on a We Recommend pile at my local bookstore here in New York. Yeah, I picked it up and fell in love with it immediately. I read it in the bookstore. There was a little cafe in the bookstore, and it's a short book. And I bought 5 copies, and I gave them to my producers and to, you know, my writing partner, Dan Catroser. And I called Justin up, and I said, I want to make your book into a movie. I need to. And then we had lunch together, and he liked me, and I liked him, and, you know, we felt a certain kinship.
Wow. When you first started and realized that you wanted to do something with this, did you immediately start with ideas of storyboarding, or was it just kind of you wanted to make sure you could get, you know, Justin involved? I mean, how did you get started?
I did want to make sure I could get Justin involved. Yeah, Justin needed to be involved. I mean, I think it's like also, I optioned the book, and then we started writing. And the goal was at first just to translate the novel to film. You know, I didn't really want to change the book at all. But slowly through the process, you know, we felt like we had to change it for the screen, and Justin was involved every step of that way. And then we did. We storyboarded the entire movie. You know, and we shot-listed the entire movie, and we had visual reference for every scene, and, you know, we were meticulous and crazy about the whole thing.
You know, you've had connections to some great festivals, but what was the lab like specifically with this, when you realized you were going to be able to take this and kind of cultivate it a little bit more at Sundance?
I mean, the lab was in some ways like it is the pinnacle of my career. I mean, it's like I always wanted to go to the lab ever since I was a little kid. I mean, ever since I heard of, like, Quentin Tarantino going there for Reservoir Dogs, I think I read about it in my local, like, film journal. And, you know, you go to the movies and they have, like, these little pamphlets. And I remember, like, reading about Quentin Tarantino going to the Sundance Labs, and I thought, you know, that must be magic. Maybe one day I'll get to go. And it was. It was magic. I mean, you know, the people at the labs are the most incredible people, and they're completely dedicated to making dangerous, difficult, complicated movies, and that was the kind of movie we wanted to make, you know, and they incubated it, you know, they showed us how to, you know, evolve the script, you know, we went through 10 drafts, and they showed me how to work with actors, you know, Ed Harris got to show me how to work with actors, you know, and I got to sit with Quentin Tarantino and talk about, you know, the filmmaking process. You know, he was one of our advisors at the lab. It's like, you know, that kind of stuff is just, it's priceless.
Wow, that's amazing. So let's dive into these wonderful 3 kids. It's kind of crazy that I know they were all started out as non-actors, but Joel has had like 3 films at Sundance this year.
That's right. Yeah. You should definitely mention that. Josiah Gabriel is wonderful. He's just a wonderful young man, and he's like all 3 of those kids can really just like grab the screen. You know, they just light it up, and he did it in 3 movies. And, you know, our AD loved him and loved all the boys, and she would recommend him to the films that she would work on, and they would, you know, they'd see him and they'd cast him. As soon as they'd meet him, they'd cast him. That was just the way it worked, and all 3 of those movies went to Sundance. And he, you know, he lights up all 3 of those movies. He's in a movie called Monsters and Men that's coming out later, and he was in Jordana Spiro's Night Comes On.
So wild. I've got to ask, Jonah's, you do a wonderful job of showing kind of the introduction of these boys into these 2 wonderful people's lives, and in particular Jonah. Is that footage of your baby?
Yeah, that's my kid. Yeah, that's his birth. And then I photographed his birth, and then, you know, 3 months later, when Raul was cast, I asked him to come to my house and do a screen test, and he did it in the bathtub with my son. It was about intimacy, really, like getting this, you know, intimate moment, and that scene ended up being in the movie.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was blown away. I was like, wow. And Raul, he's, I'm a Texan, so Raul's a Texan, so thank you for casting him. He's a great actor. Seven Seconds. Yeah. But I've got to ask, I was blown away. I loved Sheila in A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Yeah.
Tell me about casting Raul and Sheila, and what made them spark as Pops and Ma.
Well, Raul was cast about a year before, and then we couldn't go because we didn't have Jonah. And so Raul stuck with the process. He stuck with the film, and he wanted to be in it, and I'm very grateful for that. And then it took longer to find Sheila, and we found Sheila about a month and a half before shooting. And she came in, and she did an audition, and then she came in, and she did a screen test with Raul. And she was just electric, like, and their chemistry was just really incredible. And then she did another screen test with Evan, and she was mind blowing. Like, it was so beautiful, the work that she did, and we really knew that we had that family that we needed to move forward.
So let's talk about building your team. I'm almost certain you've worked with Zach before, your DP, but one of the things I loved watching was your next video, and going over the storyboards and the work that was put into just getting this project done. How did you go around building your team and your crew?
Well, Zach and I had worked together for a long time, and we had, you know, spent years shot listing and talking about how we wanted to shoot the movie. So that was great. That was very exciting. And, like, to have a collaborator that's that intimately involved with making a film with you is a beautiful thing. And Jeremy Yakis, my producer, and Christina King, my producer, I've known them for years. And Jeremy and I have a company together. And, you know, there's five of the directors in the company. It's called Public Record. And then and the other producers here at CineReach, Paul and Andrew, they were on the project very early on as well, and they really, you know, fostered it through the screenwriting process and, you know, into shooting, and were very supportive of the kind of unorthodox way we wanted to make the movie. And then, you know, little by little, we started to build up a bigger team. So Laura Klein, my AD, came on, and, you know, and she brought on her team, and, you know, And you know, we built this family, really this family. And Mark Gaffer, we'd worked with him for years, and you really felt like you had this incredible community. Our casting director became our second AC and loader. You know, it was like as much as we could keep all the people that wanted to work on the film involved in the film, we did that. You know, because, you know, it was like we were all living together in this crazy place, and we, you know, we needed to trust each other.
How scary was it doing this compared to, you know, when you're doing in the documentary world and you've got your subject matter? This must have been a little terrifying. I mean, you've creating something very different than what I think people would read a novel and do a coming of age story. You've given us something very visually different and stunning and beautiful. Was a little scary to do this project compared to what we know you for?
I mean, it wasn't about, you know, it being different than the other projects that made it scary. I mean, it was scary because it was such a volatile movie. You know, it was a movie that played with such extremes in every way, and it was so ambitious in comparison to the budget. And it was terrifying, and also. Somehow easy to just give yourself up to it. You know, it was like every day I was sure that the movie would collapse. Like every day I was sure that it would just crumble under its own weight and impossibility. And then it doesn't, you know, you just kind of soldier forward. You just move, you know, like almost like a zombie. You're just like, I gotta do this. I'm gonna go do this. And you're driven by this one goal of trying to, you know, do honor to this book. And if you just feel like it's important, you know, it's like when you feel like something's important, you know, you kind of just, you give up. and go. That's the way it works.
You know, I think people who've read the novel, I mean, I've got to read Justin's novel before knowing that you were involved even. I've got to ask I don't want to harp on particular differences because I love the film. But the ending in particular, your note and the way you leave us with the film is very different than what I got from Justin's novel. Can you talk about molding this into the film and what made you go in that direction? I mean, I thought it was very poignant the way you closed this film. It's nothing like, I think, Justin's kind of darker look at the situation.
Well, I think, you know, the biggest difficulty in translating the book to the screen was that we felt like we couldn't age Jonah. So, like, we felt like you had to be with him the whole way through, that it had to be the same actor. And then, you know, because of that, the last scene in the book where they discover, you know, what they discover had to change to be applicable for an 11-year-old, you know, for a 10-year-old. And what that would mean had to mean something different. You know what I mean? And so Justin and I and Dan talked a lot about what that would mean and how we would achieve that. Now the book, although it goes to a very dark place at the end, does end on a very hopeful note. It, you know, ends on this line. Let me go find it. That book's right over here. It ends on this beautiful line. Here it is. Upright, I say, I slur, I vow. So it ends on this moment of, like, I'm standing up and I'm going to do this, you know, this soldiering forward, moving forward moment. Upright, I say, I slur, I vow. And so we were looking for a visual metaphor for those lines. And that's the ending became, you know, the visual metaphor for upright, I say, I slur, I vow.
Beautiful. I've got to ask about, you know, one of the cool things about your next video is when you ask for the music. But can you talk about the importance of music in the film, working with Nick, working with the sound design, not just the songs and the soundtrack, but I mean the way you show us the, you know, New York, the sounds of what we see around us. I think when the kids are out in nature, some of the most sonically pleasing way to showcase something. I was blown away by how much you gave us nature.
Well, shout out to Rui Garcia, who is like the man. He's an amazing sound designer and, you know, and mixer, and has worked with, you know, people like Alfonso Cuarón and, you know, and some of your favorite HBO shows. and he is just like, he's just a really brilliant dude. And also to, you know, Nick Zamudo, who did the score, and they really created an immersive sonic atmosphere, you know, a place that was like the family with extremes, with, you know, very high highs and very low lows, and a very dynamic, it's a very dynamic sounding movie, so, you know, it gets very quiet and it gets very loud. And that's what my experience of, you know, being in the world. And the interesting thing about nature, when you talk about nature, is like you can go out into the middle of the woods and, you know, you hear those crickets at night, and it's the loudest thing you can possibly imagine. It's like a freight train, you know. It's like funny how that is, you know. It's like funny how the world, depending on, and especially for a young person, and especially in terms of memory, really allows for a sonically immersive and dynamic space.
So I've got to ask, when you read the novel, was there a moment in the book that hit you hardest, and were you able to fully translate that into the film for us?
You know, there wasn't a moment. There were a series of moments. There were a series of scenes that, like, you know, just blew me the fuck away. I mean, one after the other after the other. I will say that, like, you know, the 9 years old scene was a touchstone for me. It's 7 years old in the book, but it's 9 years old in the movie. It's watching Sheila do that scene with Evan, you know, when that came together, when that worked, was when the movie started to really work, you know. Like, that scene is the pivotal emotional change in the movie that, that, you know, really feels like the most important thing to me in some ways, in terms of, like, the entire movie working.
If we could all just...
captures...
Oh, no, go ahead, sorry.
There's a lot of things that are happening in that scene. There's a lot of beats, and it's very complicated. There's, like, a lot of love, and there's, like, a line that's being crossed, and there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of need, and there's a lot of change, and it's, like, it's a very complicated, difficult, nuanced scene, and I wasn't sure that we were ever going to be able to get it right, and when we did, it just, like, it was really a moving moment for me, and really a testament to Sheila and Evan. They're telling me I have to wrap it up, so I guess we got one more question.
Well, I've got to ask, we're about to showcase the film out into the theaters. Tell me about what you hope people grasp from it, and yeah, I'd love to just know what you hope people gain from it, because I know this was a hard endeavor and a big part of your life making this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, especially now, like, you know, I feel like, you know, we as many people feel like they are other in this society and in this world, and this movie is very much about the empowerment of being other, you know, and like I hope that, you know, people are empowered by the specificity and the unique lives that we're bringing to the screen.
Jeremiah, thank you so much. I've loved your work over the years, and this movie was wonderful. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you, man.